adjust your radio frequency. This is not a test. This is the Artist First Network.
Cool. Across every time zone, covering both hemispheres. It's time for a featured music special on Artist First World Radio, something we have been doing now since 1997. I got a great job because I get to spend a lot of wonderful time with some of the world's most talented, interesting people, and instead of watching some of those booger-eating morons you see on TV, we got actual human beings here that are trying to make a difference in the world, people with real talent, not just the store-bought kind down the street. Tonight's guest is a musician extraordinaire. He's played with a whole bunch of folks, and we're going to talk about that. Obviously, one of the biggest events in his life so far was his participation in the Vietnam War. I'm welcoming to the Artist First microphones tonight the Combat Fusion Jazz Band and artist John Dubiel. Hi, John.
Hi, Bob. How you doing, buddy?
How's life in Chicago tonight?
Yeah, great day. The sun was shining. It was a nice day. Great. A zippity-doo-dah day.
Well, us here in Ohio, we get your used weather, so it's always it's good to know tomorrow it's going to be sunny.
No, it's on the way. We're sending it right to you, buddy.
Well, John, you're an interesting guy. You have appeared on the program before with Corey King. We have had you back and will have you back into the future. You got a lot of great things going on. We're going to play a bunch of music, folks, from the Combat Fusion Jazz Band CD. But first, I would like to talk with John in the presence of all you listeners and talk a little bit about John as a human being and what made John into the person that he is today. So let's touch briefly on your childhood. Where'd you grow up?
You know, I grew up in a housing project in Chicago on the west side, right on 26th of California, right across from the Cook County Jail, you know. So my experience was, you know, starting at the bottom and working ourselves way up, you know, to where we are. Not that we're that big, but it was quite an experience. I wouldn't have changed a thing about growing up in the housing projects, because back in the day, it was a lot of fun. A lot of kids, a lot of fun. No supervision. Day at the beach.
Well, so what happened in your life to let you know that music was going to be a big part of it?
You know, when I was a kid, I've always loved music, listening to the radio. And I wanted to be a drummer. That was my real passion, because I always liked rhythm. But my mom, you know, as smart as she was, said, no. She gave me an accordion. So I started out playing accordion and, of course, went to keyboards and piano and such. So that's where the beginning was for me, on the accordion.
Man, I've been playing keyboards professionally for 30, maybe even over 40 years now that I think about it, but I've never once touched an accordion. What's it like to play an accordion?
It's different. You know, it's different. I haven't played one in years since I was a kid, you know, because you got the buttons in the left-hand side and the keyboard in the right, and it's, you know, bass chord, and, you know, I have a friend of mine, this guy Sam, and he's a great keyboard player. And he plays accordion terrifically still, and he broke it out one day, and I tried to play it, and I was lost on it after all these years. But that's how it started out, playing the accordion.
Well, it's a lost instrument. They still got Polka Hour up in Cleveland. They still have a lot of accordion players up there. But so music actually fit in before the Vietnam War then?
Oh, yeah. I loved it. I always loved it, you know. You know, a lot of guys were into rock and roll. I was always into R&B. In my neighborhood, we listened to rhythm and blues and a lot of jazz stations back in the day when I was a kid coming up. So, you know, music to me was... And when I went into the service, you know, I ran into a lot of guys that were musicians, and it started off again once again, and I got more interest into it. So you know, the military played a big part of my life, especially in the field of music itself, because I, just to give you a quick story, when I was in Korea, I was the only white guy in a band called the Rice Paddy Daddies, and we toured all over Korea, and I learned a lot about rhythm and blues by playing with that band. It was quite an experience.
The Rice Paddy Daddies, I like that, man.
Yeah, it was a great band. It was a blues guy, a friend of mine. We were real close, man. He came from Winter Park, Florida, you know. Robert J. Stokes, and he played guitar, and I played piano and pump bass in the left hand. We had a drummer from Texas. He came from Detroit, New York, but they called him Tex, and then we had a sax player, this kid, Braswell. It was a lot of fun playing in that band. I learned a lot back in those days.
Well, and now that you mentioned the military connection with bands, over the years, I can think of lots and lots and lots of instances where bands were formed either on military bases or the children of military on military bases. Seems to be one of the many unifying factors for musicians.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a lot. And let me tell you, there was guys that were, that was their job, their MOS, which means military occupation status, was being a musician. They would play in an army band on a post somewhere and that. But a lot of guys at the service clubs got together, and we would jam or play or do whatever we can. I mean, it was such a great relief to do that kind of thing, because what else are you going to do on your time off? You know, I mean, you could sit in a bar and drink. I'm not much of a drinker. So playing in the service club was a great time for me. Those are great days in my life. I learned an awful lot about lots of different types of music being in the military.
Not only that, but you can learn a lot about life playing in a band. We'll talk about that.
Oh, without a doubt. You got that, buddy.
We'll talk about that after we play the first cut. The first track John is elected to play tonight is Day Tonight. John, why'd you pick this one, and what are we about to hear?
You know, this is a song that when you start to write and produce music, they have a life of their own. This started out as an instrumental, and then after I laid down the basic tracks and brought it home, I heard a melody in there, and I heard some words, and I wrote the words and the melody, and it came out pretty good, you know. So it's one of those things that it just has a life of its own, and I just thought this song doesn't get much play, but I think your audience would like it.
It's called the Combat Fusion Jazz Band. All the music is composed, arranged, and much of it performed by John Dubiel, our guest, although he did assemble a killer list of musicians. Let's recognize some of those folks, John. Who else helped Johnny out?
Oh, my God. Well, the drummer is a guy named James Knowles, who is just incredibly to play with him. He's just a great drummer, great timekeeper, great everything. Jawan Scott played bass, and, you know, that starts the whole thing. When you got those things going. And I played keyboards, and I had three or four other keyboard players. The engineer who co-produced the album with me, John, he played organ on one of the tunes we'll play on later on. I'm thinking Hollywood, this guy, Kenneth Scott Hollywood, he played with Tyrone Davis for 26 years. He's a singer in the song you just heard. Played guitar. What a rhythm guitar player he is. Sax players, two sax players. TK played alto, and a guy named James Perkin played on two of the cuts. I had another bass player playing a couple of cuts, another guitar player, and I'm telling you, I can't remember all these guys' names. I apologize if you're listening. Please forgive me. I had singers, and, you know, it just was a collaboration of great people. You know, I tried to find somebody that would fit the tune. See, I'm not a singer, so it's hard to relate vocals to someone, but I managed to do pretty well, and, of course, they all brought to the table their talents and made it all work really well. So I think the album turned out pretty good, I think.
I think it's an outstanding job. Folks have no idea. The average person listening, we love you and thank you for supporting the station. But you don't really have any idea how difficult it is to get a concept in your brain. I'm talking a musical. You can hear it in your head, but now you got to make it come out of a pair of speakers. That is not an easy thing to do.
No, it's difficult. But I tell you, there's something with this album. Everything seemed to work out perfectly. I found the right players. I found the right singer. I found the right studio, which is Studio 2424 in Chicago. The engineer is just a young kid, 18 years old, who works Pro Tools like I just can't believe. You know, Danny and his father is the other guy, and he's an organ player. And so it just is actually a miracle in my view, because it, you know, when I listen, I was just listening the other day, because when you get away from it for a while, you know, and then I listen and go, you know, this ain't too bad. So that's how it's kind of worked out, and I'm very pleased with the outcome.
Yeah, you know, in your music, as you can hear it, folks, there's a lot to it. There's a lot of tracks involved. There's a lot of pieces. It's not just bass guitar and drums and somebody singing. How do you get this? Myself being a professional musician, but I can't play a lick of music. I can't read any music whatsoever. And all the albums and sessions I've worked on were all done with little cheat sheets. No, there's no sheet music whatsoever. In your case, boy, you got a lot more complex stuff going on there. How do you get your ideas?
I got this keyboard, and believe it or not, it's a Casio, and it has accompaniment, so I can put everything I want on this Casio and go to the studio and play this for the players and give them an idea of where we're at rhythmically, where
there
we're at
go.
On the bass line, where I'm at, so they have a template, and that's how I did it. Of course, I gave them the chord changes and all that. We rehearsed it three or four times, and, you know, everybody felt comfortable with it, and we just laid it down, and the magic happened. It was a great way, and it's the way I do, the way I work, you know, and it's just came out just terrific that way, by using that particular keyboard, where I can have all kinds of stuff and have an idea before I got into studio what I was going to do, basically as a good template.
Well, I think the expression "like herding cats" came from trying to run a band. Because musicians are wonderful people, but they're often rather unique personalities. Did you, especially in a studio situation, did you find yourself getting a little concerned, shall we say, from time to time?
You know, I'll tell you something. In this project here, everybody I brought in, you know, sometimes certain people didn't fit a song, you know. I mean, and I had to get a different singer or something, or, you know, but basically, like this sax player, TK, this girl, she's a female on the sax, this girl. And I'll tell you, you know, I except for one song, the song you just heard in the intro, I told her that line to play, that melody. But after that, the solo, everything else she put in, it's all her. This girl, I think, has got a career ahead of her. She's a great player, plays all over Chicago, all over town. You know, TK, I love her. She's a great artist, and I think she's just amazing, man. And she fits into this project 100%. And then the other guy, James Perkins, Jimmy Perkins, who played on two of the cuts, I think he played on Jam for Joy and Gotta Say Goodbye. He was in the Navy. He was one of them guys in the Navy band, and he is just one of the top saxophone players in the country, if not in Chicago. Played with everybody, recorded with top name people. I couldn't even go and list all the people, but and I was lucky to get him. It's just lucky to be in a city like Chicago where you have this reservoir of yes. these wonderful musicians to pull from.
Yes, you do.
It's just, you know, for me as a writer and a producer, and it's just great to play with those kind of guys. As you well know, because you're a keyboard player, right, Scott?
Well, I've been accused of it. Some people say I sound like a fish wearing mittens. Now, is that
Believe
an insult?
I've had those days myself.
Come on, is that an insult for a keyboard player? Man, you sound like a fish wearing mittens.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know.
There's one kid I had play on here named Clarence Williams, and his wife's a singer. She sang on it, too. And he's a musical director at this high school in Chicago here, actually in a suburb in Bellwood. And, boy, is this kid a great player. He's just and they're so young. I mean, I'm an old man. This kid's 26 years old. He's the head of the musical department at this high school. And the nicest kids in the world, man, cooperative, come on there. Hey, this is what I want you to do, and does it better than I can imagine. So when you surround yourself with that kind of talent, it ain't that hard.
That's a good point. All you youngsters out there, listen to what he's saying. He speaks the truth. Before we play Night Flight, I think it's important. I probably should have mentioned this earlier. The album, the Combat Fusion Jazz Band CD that's available, there's a purpose behind this. Not just is it for you to put out music, great music that stations like ours love to play, but you actually have a purpose, a second purpose behind it, and let's discuss that.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I was wounded in combat, you know, 1966, you know. And I came back from the service, and it's a traumatic experience. And a lot of the Vietnam vets and even Korean vets and World War II vets, there was no such thing as post-traumatic stress disorder, you know. And they call it combat fatigue and all these other things. And I suffered it for a while, but time is a wonderful healing thing. You know, it really does a well. In time, you can overcome these things, and luckily I did. Some guys didn't, you know. And now that I'm getting older, I had to go to the VA, start to go to the VA. It's great, you know. The VA is it's a wonderful organization, and I met this kid there who I haven't seen a look like in this guy's eyes since I left Vietnam, and he has post-traumatic stress disorder. And when I talked to him for about 3 hours, that's when I decided, you know, I wrote these songs, and a portion of the profits will go to help these kids. As a matter of fact, I want to challenge anybody who's listening to this broadcast right now. If you download any song in the month of May, all the money that comes in, I will give to organization. We're getting tied in with the VA here, to Heinz Hospital, which is the biggest hospital in the state of Illinois, where I go to. And I talk to the director of whatever she does, and she's a terrific girl. And so that's what I want to do, and it's been working out pretty good. You know, Memorial Day is coming, and these kids, you know, there's 400,000 veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. 10 a day are committing suicide. 10 a day. So, you know, I think it's time for the American people, for all of us, to step up to the plate and to show our support for these kids, you know. I mean, because it's one thing to be in combat, but it's another war when you come home. And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, bravo, John. We stand behind you 1,000,000%. Listeners, you guys do a great job out there supporting the fine artists that come through here. This time it's extra special. If I could just interject one little political point.
Of course.
The military personnel serving in today's military, the enlisted personnel, have fought longer and harder than any previous army in any war in this country's history. I had a college professor back in the 70s at Mount Union College, Dr. Toon. He was part of the a certain battalion of American soldiers who fought all the way through Europe and then all the way to Japan. His particular unit and group of guys at that time had seen more combat than any other people they kept records of. And all that's out the window with today's kids. They have been abused. Our Government has not taken care of them. We've mislabeled them. We've done everything possible to say there's nothing wrong with these kids. They set up some bullcrap way to tell whether these kids coming back have problems or not. And I'm just saying, we've abused these soldiers more than any other generation in our country. We should support them greater than any other generation. We should support all the soldiers, of course. But let's not forget what certain people in our nation have asked them to do over and over and over and over again, never having. Now, do I have that right, John, or am I a complete
idiot? Absolutely, 100%, without a doubt. And that's why it's time for us, forget the government. They, you know, they ain't going to do doo-doo. It's time for the American people. This is why I'm doing this project. People listening to this program, just do a little thing. Download the music. I don't care about the money. You know, I'm 67 years old. It's about helping these kids. And, I'm a patriot, and I know people in the sound of my voice, they're patriots, too. So step up to the plate and help us out and help these kids out, you know. And I'll tell you, we'll come back, and I hope you can have me back on the air, and I'll report back to you just what would happen here with your audience. And I know your audience is listening, and they're going to help us. I have no doubt in my mind. Because if you love this country, come on, get on board.
That's John Dubiel. Let's check out Night Flight. We'll be back. I didn't want to get too political on you, folks. I just wanted to make that comment. These kids absolutely, more than any generation, deserve our help. Let's check out Night Flight. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is the kind of music that I listen to all day, folks. I hope you do, too. And you can download a copy of this. John, where can they get your stuff?
You know, if you go to www.combatfusionjazz.com, and it'll take you right to our website. We have all the little icons there you can click on. You can read about myself. You can read about our calls. We have a YouTube video you can click on. You know, you can see the radio stations that we're on, some of them that are programming our music. So that's www.combatfusionjazz.com.
And folks, if you didn't get that, always we make the links available. Click on the link right next to John's name. It'll take you there. If you're listening to an archive, that link is also right next to John's name. Surf on over, support these guys. John, you know, when you're interviewing bands and stuff, there's a lot of questions. Oh, who influenced you? You could talk about, but you know, a lot of the same things seem to get discussed during interviews with musicians. Mm-hmm. But your case is unique in the fact that you were injured in combat. Mm-hmm. In this day and age, when we are a country, we're at war. You'd never know it, but we're at war right now. I mean, you'd never know it when you're a citizen here in the country. Those poor kids over there know damn well, sitting in Afghanistan and you know, the guys still sitting in Kuwait, they know doggone well. And, you know, it has to have been one of the largest influences of your life, especially, you know,
without a doubt.
When you were wounded, did you think you were going to die?
That night was a pretty tough night, I'll tell you, when I got wounded. You know, I just to give you a quick little war story, we were in an LP, which is a listening post, and there was a young kid just got to Vietnam. He was only 17 years old, you know. I mean, this kid didn't have his first sexual experience yet, and we were making fun of him in this LP. Boy, all of a sudden, everything hit the fan. The doodle hit the fan, and a mortar round went in front of this kid. And it just—I hate to be grim, but it just blew his jaw off and his arm off. And I mean, it's something that sticks in your mind all your life when you see expose something like that there. And it was just a horrific night. It was May 5th, 1966, and that's a day I'll never forget. You know, so it was really tough. But you know, Vietnam's a funny thing, or any combat. And I bet you any soldier out there listening to this broadcast, it's one of the things that you never want to go through that experience again, but you wouldn't give anything in the world not to have gone through it, because it really, really shapes your life. And, you know, 45 years later, as I'm sitting here now and I think about these things, because you kind of put those experiences in a drawer and you forget about them and you don't want to talk about them. But now that I'm active with this cause of ours, you know, of helping these kids with post-traumatic stress disorder, it's a little more coming to life. And some of those old memories that I put behind are coming back now. But that's one that I will never forget. I felt so sorry for that kid, and I often think about that guy, a young boy, and how his life, and the guilt that I have that, you know, for the grace of God, that could have been my jaw that was blown off.
Well, and if you were on a double-blind study and Mr. Listener was listening to albums from artists and was asked to pick the person who spent time in combat, who saw people blown to pieces before his eyes, based on the music, it wouldn't be you. Your music has a fresh, positive, uplifting feeling. It's, you know, it might seem counterintuitive. Someone that's gone through what you through have been through, it might be, you know, you might put out a different flavor of music that was a little more dark, a little more, I don't know, foreboding. But it doesn't seem to be the case with you.
Well, you know, that isn't who I am as a person, as a songwriter. You know, I mean, when you come back into the world, we used to go going back to the world. When he came back here, it's the songs I wrote about my life experience, not in Vietnam. The only song which is Under Fire is my tribute that I hope we can play before we leave this interview. Was my tribute to these kids in combat. But all these songs I wrote them well before I even decided to dedicate this to these kids who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. And so, you know, it's the way I wrote the tunes. Like this one song, the title of this of the album, Gotta Say Goodbye. That's a song about the girl that got away. You know, when you're a young man and you should have married this girl, and there's plenty of people out there think about, you know, that one girl or that one guy, if you're a female, that you wish you would have been with, or you should have been with, or you could have been with, but it just didn't work out. And that was the inspiration for that song, Gotta Say Goodbye.
Well, let's hear it, folks. Gotta Say Goodbye by John Dubiel and the Combat Fusion Jazz Band.
I'm walking up.
Gotta Say Goodbye. That's the title of the album. John Dubiel and his Combat Jazz Fusion Band. They are joining us tonight. That's John on the line out there in the windy city of Chicago. John, would you mind if we talk on the air a little bit about what we were talking about there while that song was playing about the changes in internet radio and the fact that you have 148,000 likes on Django?
Yeah, Django is a internet station. They got 5 million people signed up. And we got 148,600 fans. It's really amazing. If anybody goes to Django and they put in Combat Fusion Jazz Band, they'll take it to my page, you know, and it'll play our music, plus other music, Earth, Wind, and Fire, stuff that I like, you know, Chicago, these other bands. But there's 148,000 likes in there. It's just amazing to me. I mean, we get 2,000-3,000 a week.
Well, so, as
somebody likes the music out there.
There has to be a way to, I don't want to say monetize that, but I guess that's what I'm thinking. I mean, that's your future fan base. I mean, that's the people that you need to stay in touch with. And we're talking about anybody out there, folks. We were talking about how internet radio, what now also called Wi-Fi radio, is changing the entire music business. It has completely changed the big label business. We know that for a fact. I don't know if you guys paid attention to, but last week there was a conference in France. All the automakers in Europe were getting together to standardize radios for the dashboards of cars. Yes, GM was there. But remember, GM's in bed up to their eyeballs with that soon-to-be-bankrupt place called XM Sirius, because Wi-Fi radio will kill them. It's free, and there's more stations, at any rate.
Well, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. That's the way to go now. Because I tried to do some things over with some promoters, and I got stuck in my ass, you know, with these guys. And here, you know, it's the internet's the way to go. I mean, I got 148,000 fans, I mean, likes, and 600 fans, people who actually clicked on. I have their email address. We send them emails. We update them. We keep them on what's going. So it's really amazing. And your station, you have a terrific station here, and it's very helpful. And I wish you and all the people associated with Artists First all the success in the world. And just keep it going, buddy.
Well, thanks to artists like you. If every artist we play stunk, we wouldn't last too long. We have the same problem that any other radio station has. You got to play music people like. Now, the Clear Channel's been ramming music down your ears for decades. How's it going, Clear Channel? Oh, not so good anymore, is it? Oh, what do you mean your ratings are down for the fifth year in a row? They don't tell you that on that morning drive, do they?
No.
AM and FM radio's in trouble in the United States. They are actually in trouble.
And with those apps things, you know, people are going to be and listen to your station on app. It's going to be in the radio. What do you need? You know, you reach more people than these people I spent all this money on trying to get spins in a small market. I may end up with 300 people, if that, for the money I spent trying to get them somebody to hear the music. And they, if you don't hear it, you can't decide whether you like it or not. That's, because to me, the audience, they're the bosses. They'll tell you what they like something. You can't BS them.
Well, the record labels proved beyond any shadow of a doubt that if you ram enough material down somebody's throat, oh, yeah, they had to pay for it. Oh, that's all those payola scandals. Yeah, Sony was involved in the latest big one, ABC Radio. And I remember the one guy from ABC Radio, after admitting that Sony was in there buying these plays, he goes, did you listen to the music people? Do you think we would play this if we weren't getting paid? Because the stuff stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't want to get off on too far. Let's completely change the attitude of our conversation, because the next song is A Jam for Joy. That's got to be a great title for a piece. You know, naming your music is a lot like naming children. With this tune and others, how do you come up with the titles for your songs?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wrote the song. Once again, it was going to be an instrumental. And I brought it home, and I started writing the lyrics to the tune. And this song, compared to Gotta Say Goodbye, is about falling in love. You know, when you really find that person in your life and just being with them and seeing them and that happiness and the thrill that gives you. And, you know, I just listened to it. I says, hey, this is a jam for joy, you know. And I like the lyrics. I wrote the lyrics. If you're out there listening, really listen to the lyrics, because I think they're cool. I hope you do. Go ahead and play it, buddy.
Thank you.
The cut is called Jam for Joy. If you just joined us, that's John Dubiel's music. He has a CD out, Combat Fusion Jazz Band. The title of the CD is Gotta Say Goodbye, and it's available using the links provided right there on our homepage, or if you're listening to an archive page, hit the link provided right next to the archive link. John, I hear Spyro Gyra, I hear Earth, Wind, and Fire. I certainly hear Chicago, even though you live there. I'm talking about the band.
Well, you hit all the influences that I love. I love all those groups. They all influenced me, every one of them, you know, in writing and playing. Yeah, you know. Plus, you know, years ago, I was in a bar band for a long time, too. You know, and you play all those songs, so you learn how they hook them up as a songwriter and performer. But you nailed what I like.
Well, you know what? Maybe there's hope for old fogies like us. Today's young music club scene is all computer generated, nothing you can perform on stage, and there's a whole generation that's growing up on music that's basically just computer crap.
Yeah.
There's no one actually playing anything, and people are in the music business that can't sing, they can't dance, and they can't write music, yet they're in the music business. Go figure. Well, as long as you can dress like a prostitute and dance like a pole dancer, then you probably have a good chance in getting a signed contract. But that kind of excludes you and me, I think, John.
I think, yeah, that takes us out of the box. But, hey, we'll just, you know, our generation. You know, let me tell you something, getting back to Django. I've got fans on that Django that are 16 years old. I got a person who downloaded my music in London, England, who's 16. And I got people who are 65, 66, 70 years old. I had a fan the other day who was 70 that showed up on there. So, you know, it's a big span. You know, music's music. It's the language of your soul, in my view. It's the one way you can communicate, you know. The other part is all kind of marketing guys that do their thing. But you and I, we know the real McCoy.
Well, I think that your music is timeless. We call it now old school. In fact, we put that on our posters, and that seems to attract people. They don't, you know, and this is the music that no one can play. You can't just go home from school and decide you want to be a rapper today, download some programs, and put out what you put out. It takes years of experience. The combined experience of the musicians that you hired and your experience, I mean, we're talking probably hundreds of years here.
Oh, yeah, these guys are all, they play. Well, first of all, that's their living. They play music all day, and they play in Chicago clubs, and they tour with top blues bands, and, you know, they're just, and they're terrific people. These guys, when I told them what the cause was, they jumped on board like white on rice and said, hey, I'm on, you know, and basically I paid them almost like in gas money. So it was a terrific, they're really great. I can't brag anymore about these guys, and I love every one of them. And if you're listening, fellas, thanks so much for your time and talent. I really appreciate it.
I thought you were going to say that, like white on the rights, Patty Daddies.
There you go. Yeah. That was a good band, believe it or not. We were pretty good. We had a lot of fun with those guys.
Yeah, I think the best band I ever played in when I was 17, man. Whatever happened to those days. At least you thought you were the best back then. We probably stunk out loud, but we think it's... John, you're going to be around our station a long time. We want to support your cause. You have great music. Thank you for letting us play it on our station.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate all your help in life, at least to help all those people out there. Download it. And let's help these kids out there if you're out there listening.
Yeah, we owe it to them, folks. And John needs a new – he has a boat payment coming due later this month. That's a pretty big boat he has. So, no, I'm making all that up, folks. John,
I know you are.
Well, I don't want to mislead the listeners. John, you're one of the good ones out there. I wish there were more folks like you in the music.
Oh, you're the best, buddy. You know, you're the best. I did a lot of radio interviews, but you're the most comfortable guy I've ever talked to, man. So whatever you're doing, just keep on doing it, buddy.
Well, thank you. We've got just a moment to hear from John about the last cut. This is Under Fire. This is a big deal. What are we about to hear?
This song here is the only song that I really kind of wrote and dedicated to the men and women who served in combat. That's why it's Under Fire, you know. And there is some sound effects and special effects in this tune, and it's my favorite song on the whole album. I just love this thing, and this song here will tell you the quality of the musicians that played and the musicianship on this CD. This song says it all. Go ahead and cue it up, my man.